interviews, and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello, and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson. Now, if you're headed to the National Convention later this month, you may also be looking for some housing options. The Indiana FFA Leadership Center has space available in both their lodge as well as the cabins, and at prices that won't break the bank. The space, however, is limited, so check out their website at IndianaFFACenter.com for more information and availability. You can email clientrelations@INFFA.org. That's at INFFA.org. Now, if you're looking for help funding SAE projects, students can apply for a $1,000 SAE grant to start or expand one of their projects. Now, there are 176 grants available this year. The online-only application is available through the SAE Grants webpage on FFA.org. The deadline to apply for those grants is November 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So head over to FFA.org to apply today. And finally, you could go behind the scenes at the National FFA Convention and Expo by volunteering for the Courtesy Corps. Spots are still available, assisting with the CDE and LDE events, the Shop FFA Megastore, in the Agri-Science Fair, also during the American FFA Degree Ceremony, and even during the rodeo. You can find out how from the convention homepage at convention.ffa.org. So to get things started today, let's head to Greenfield, Iowa. That's where we get to know Ms. Taylor Wilkins, the new advisor at the Nottoway Valley High School and Middle School, and we'll even find out a little bit of what she's like outside the classroom.
Hello, my name is Taylor Wilkins. I am the new agriculture teacher and FFA advisor here at Nottoway Valley. Before I came to Nottoway Valley, I worked at Cardinal High School in Eldon, Iowa. I taught agriculture there and was FFA advisor as well. The thing that intrigued me most about Nottoway Valley is when I student taught at West Central Valley, I had the chance to travel with Nottoway Valley to National FFA Convention in Indianapolis, and I knew that it had a strong program with really good kids, and that excited me to be able to take over a program that had such a strong backing. The thing I'm most excited about this year is just being able to get to know the students and see their passions and who they are. I'm really excited to be able to work in the community and be able to merge that real world experience within the classroom. The thing I love most about my job is seeing kids' light bulbs turn on and things that they thought they weren't able to do. I really enjoy when kids say, "Oh, Ms. Wilkins, this is super cool, look what I've just done." It's exciting to see them be able to put their hands to work and the things that we learn in the classroom into application. I decided to become an ag teacher because I grew up in agriculture. I grew up in Florida, so I grew up with a cow-calf operation and peanuts and cotton. I had a really strong FFA program and a really strong FFA advisor that kind of pushed me into pursuing a career in ag education. I don't know that I have any unusual hobbies, but I do enjoy raising show cattle with my fiance for 4-H and FFA members and spending the weekends at cattle shows. My favorite book or author, I guess, would be Nicholas Sparks. I'm a sucker for a good love story. The most famous person I ever met, I'm not sure if he's really all that famous, but as I mentioned, I did grow up in Florida, so I'm a big Tim Tebow fan, so I've met him many of times. I would say my superpower would probably be that I have really good ears, so I can hear every little sly conversation that's going on in the back of the classroom. I mentioned that I grew up in Florida. Being the oldest of three girls, I kind of had an ag background, my grandparents' farm and raising cattle. I knew I kind of wanted to do something ag-related, but wasn't exactly sure what it was. And with the support of my FFA advisor, she told me, "Why don't you be an ag teacher?" So I honestly just Googled top agriculture programs. Of course, Iowa State popped up. I moved here in 2015 and happened to meet my fiance while student teaching, so we purchased his grandpa's farm in Earlham, and that's kind of where we're calling home now.
Well, thanks to the Nottoway Valley Community School District for that piece. And have you ever wondered what it might be like to be an FFA state officer? Well, now you can find out. New Jersey State President Jamie Spacca walks us through a year in her life, giving us an inside look at the hectic schedule and great opportunities that members of the officer team have, and how they can continue to shape the organization even after leaving office.
Hi, New Jersey FFA members. Jamie here. So the first thing that I want to touch on is meetings. So once you get elected to state office, you will have to attend state meetings. And we hold a state meeting the first Monday of every month. Unless there is a holiday, then we'll do the second. Officers are in official dress. We do opening ceremonies, all official business. And then usually the team goes out to dinner after those meetings. The third Monday of the month is our work session. So at these meetings, they are the same thing, but this time we get to our business casual and it's more of a laid-back meeting. No official business happens. It's just a lot of getting things done and preparing for events that are coming up. But those are the two primary meetings that we will have a month. Every state officer, for the most part, has a board that they're assigned to. So this could be the Ag Society, this could be the Equine Advisory Board. There's a lot of different boards that New Jersey FFA state officers sit on. And then you'll have to attend extra meetings for that. And you'll just go and give a report about what New Jersey FFA is doing currently. And then at our state meetings, you will give a report about what that board is currently doing. We also have committees that we sit on. So there's seven committees at the state level. So each state officer is assigned to a committee. So you will be a committee chair for one committee. You'll be a committee vice chair for another committee. And then you will be a committee member on about two committees. But yeah, so you'll be technically on four committees, but you'll chair one of them. And you are in charge of everything that happens for that committee. So both last year and this year, I am a chair of the Hort Expo committee. So the horticultural exposition that happens in March, I go through the rules list and all the classes, and I can create new ones, I can get rid of some old ones, and I'll work together with my committee to do this. And then we'll bring those ideas to state meetings, and then that's where all of the official business will happen, and then they'll get implemented at their respective events or whatever that committee might be overseeing. We also have trainings. So the summer is the biggest point for training as a state officer, just so that when fall comes around and when chapters and schools are back in session, we are prepared, we're ready to do chapter visits and lead and CDEs and so forth. So as soon as you get elected, about a weekend or two after, you'll have state officer leadership training. Past state officers and alumni will come in and they'll just facilitate basic things that you need to know as a state officer. You will have base camp and checkpoint and summit over the summer as well. So base camp is just a lot of figuring out who you are and who you are as a leader and what you want to become. State officer summit is a lot about advocacy, and you'll get to go to Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. and actually advocate to legislators and senators and so forth, which is really awesome. And you are with state officers from every state, so you meet a lot of people. And then checkpoint one is where you will learn to facilitate and write workshops. In the fall, in November-ish, we have checkpoint two. And this is where we learn how to write and deliver speeches. So just like workshops with facilitation, basically the same thing, we'll just learn how to write and deliver a speech. In February, during FFA week, we go on the Fuel Up retreat. So we will go down to usually Cape May. We'll be in a little house together for a weekend, and we will completely write and plan state convention. So we'll think about speakers that we want. We will write the intros, and everything that you see state officers say at state convention will get written at this retreat in February. Some things that you can do after state office is executive committee. So what they are is past state officers, the year after you serve as a state officer, you have the option to run for executive committee or not. And if you are executive committee, then you will help out facilitate SGC at LEAD, you will help out at CDEs, and you'll be at meetings, at state meetings, to facilitate a executive committee little report. And they'll help out with state officer trainings in the summer as well. Not everyone has to do it. It's great if you do, and it's okay if you don't. We also have chapter visits. All state officers get 5 chapter visits as of right now. We have 35 chapters, and there's 7 state officers normally, 5 per officer. But it's all an experience, it's all different every year, but hopefully that gave you an insight on what your year might look like and where you might have to travel throughout the year. Thank you!
Well, thanks to Jamie for that insight, which has maybe even inspired a few of you to take a shot at state office someday. Well, stay tuned. The convention is just around the corner, and we'll meet another one of this year's National Star finalists straight ahead on FFA Today. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And now we continue our series meeting this year's National Star finalist, of course, in the lead up to this month's national convention. And for that, we will hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckwald. He'll introduce us to Andrew Streff, a National Star finalist in ag placement.
Joining me today is Andrew Streff, and he is coming to us from South Dakota State University, where he is majoring in agricultural business and minoring in marketing. And he's a former chapter vice president at McCook Central High School in Salem, South Dakota, and also a nominee for the National Star in Ag Placement this year. Andrew, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. It's my pleasure to speak with you. And well, hey, congratulations to you on being nominated as a National Star. That's fantastic. How was that when you heard the news? Was it surprising? Did you kind of think it was coming? What was it like?
I really didn't know what to expect with it. Part of me said that I was going to get it. Another part said, you know, there's good competition out there. So
yeah.
I really had no idea what to expect. And I really just very excited with when I heard it initially, because this was a goal that I set for myself my freshman year of high school to make it to this level, to be a finalist for this award. So that brought so many things together, countless hours of work and preparation. It just all came together at that moment when I heard it. So a very surreal moment that I'm going to remember forever, that's for sure.
That is great. So you actually set your sights on being a National Star finalist your freshman year of high school.
Yep, freshman year. So that'd be 7 years ago, I believe, already.
That is awesome. So what inspired you? I mean, it's one thing to join the FFA. It's another thing to, say, become an officer, maybe a state officer or a regional officer. But to go, I want to be up on that stage. I want to be a National Star finalist. How did you even know about that award when you were a freshman? And what inspired you to go after it?
So I looked into just what all FFA offers for a student, and I grew up on the family farm and I was always interested in crop production. So I looked into, like, well, where can this take me in the FFA, or what can the FFA do for me since I joined it? And I did some reading about this award and it sounded pretty cool. And I figured might as well set our sights high and just see what we can do.
That is fantastic. Well, and so let me ask you, and you can be modest if you want, but did you set your goal as being a finalist, or did you set your goal as winning it?
I set my goal as winning it, so we'll see where we get that far.
All right. Well, so you joined the FFA your freshman year, so why did you join? We know about what you read after you joined and what inspired you, but what even got you into the organization?
Well, for one, FFA is very big in my high school. There's about 110 students in the high school, and probably 100 of them are in FFA.
Okay.
So for one, it's just something that you kind of do at my school. And two, I never excelled in sports or anything along those lines, and I felt that FFA would be something that I could really make it my own and really help me go the distance and find some success. And I just really took it and ran with it. I really enjoyed FFA from day one.
Good for you. Well, and then obviously you joined the officer team. You became your chapter's vice president at one point. Why was it important to you to become a leader within the organization itself?
So there were, well, for one, I have been a part of it for 2 years when I first ran for a position. And I ran because the organization had already done so much for me. And I had ideas on how we could improve it and really help it impact even more people. So I just wanted to be a part of that process. So got on the officer team for my junior and senior year and helped push for a few different things. And well, the goal was to leave the chapter a better place. I'm not sure if I did, but I sure tried.
Well, you sound like a goal-oriented person, so I'm sure that you did accomplish those things along the way. Well, I want to hear all about your supervised agricultural experience. What have you been doing?
Sure. So for my ag placement SAE, it of course was majority working on our family farm with our corn and soybeans and doing essentially every task on the farm that I'm able to whenever school allows me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was after my sophomore year of college, I found that there wasn't a whole lot of learning opportunities for me in my area over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I first took an internship with Winfield United, where I actually traveled to Ohio for the summer and I served as like an ag technology specialist for farmers in the area. And with that, I ran a multiple different trials where I looked at in-season fertilizer usage and how the technology I was using reflected that.
Okay.
And then also I helped manage a couple of the answer plots in the area. So just the really big test plots that Winfield puts on. And with that, I helped present information to our growers and show them all the data that we were collecting and help point them in the right direction for making quality decisions on their farm. Along with this, I also did many customer calls where I helped service this technology that we were providing to the growers.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, I also had another internship with my local cooperative a different summer. And with that, I worked as a crop scout where I scouted over 11,000 acres throughout the summer. And with that, I was looking for any different types of pests, weeds, bugs, diseases that we could monitor, and then creating reports and submitting that to agronomists and farmers so that they can make sure that they're maintaining their fields the way that they need to. And then also with that, I helped manage 16 different test plots located throughout southeastern South Dakota, just maintain the visual appearances and help plant a few of them as well.
Now, let me ask you about this. You, at the top of the show, you talked about setting that goal so early of being a National Star winner, and you chose ag placement. And then you said, I think you said after your sophomore year, you'd kind of hit a point on your family's farm where you weren't going to be as challenged anymore if you didn't go out and take some of these internships during the summer. So was it this goal of winning the National Star in ag placement? Was it this goal that drove you to go out and to expand your horizons and to learn things that you couldn't continue to learn on your farm? Because certainly you could have continued doing your same SAE right there on your own farm, but you chose to go off the farm and learn other stuff. How much, I guess, what percentage of that decision was striving for this particular award?
Actually, very little of it was just for the award. I was doing it for just my own personal growth. I knew that I could stay on the farm forever, but I wanted experience off the farm. Uh-huh. I wanted to see and do some different things while our farm was still in a place where I could go off and do that. Dad's in very good health, so me being gone for a summer here or a summer there wasn't the end of the world for our farm.
Sure.
So I just really wanted to take advantage of going out, seeing other things, and almost being on the other side of the desk, so to speak. See what it's like being on the retail side instead of being on the farmer's side.
Well, if your name is called and they rush you to the front of that stage at the national convention, what is it going to mean to you to be the National Star winner?
It will be the fulfillment of that goal that I set when I was a freshman year and really show me that, you know, if I can set my mind to something or I can set a goal, it's definitely not going to happen overnight, but by continuously working on it, finding continual self-improvement, that is getting fulfilled. And that will mean so much, just showing that the work I have put in will be meaning something and that it's getting recognized for all that I've done within the industry.
Well, that is great. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for sharing all this with us today. I really appreciate it. And hey, best of luck to you in Indianapolis. It's going to be a blast.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, thanks as always to Matt. Now stay tuned throughout the next few weeks as we meet even more of those star finalists. Well, don't go anywhere. We hear from a Kentucky farm boy whose success in the livestock industry led him all the way to the very top of the National FFA. Next on Rural Radio 147. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. And as we all know, alumni frequently give back to the National FFA organization that's helped them so much, and some more than others. Let's hear now from one such member who found himself giving back in a big way, shrugging off retirement to become FFA CEO. Let's meet Dr. Dwight Armstrong.
One of the first things you always have to remember is where you came from. And I came from a very rural Christian family farm in Western Kentucky, Catawba and Eddyville, Kentucky, for those of you who want to get up close and personal. And there, I think I developed a love for family and the farm. We grew up on a farm and the work ethic. And then entering into high school, I discovered this FFA type of activity. Going on to my first job, I was an assistant professor at North Carolina State University, teaching research. Got involved with the like the Block and Bridle or the Animal Science Club, and really saw that enthusiasm of the students. Loved the teaching, but also did research and extension. And did that for 7 years and thought that that's what I was going to be, a professor, and maybe move on up to administration. And then I met this guy from Ohio who was an entrepreneur, a self-taught nutritionist, and asked me to come to work for him in Ohio. And so we moved our family to Ohio and went to work in the feed industry. And lo and behold, FFA surfaced again, because this company was a supporter of FFA. And so that rekindled my passion and love for FFA. My younger brother called me one day and he says, "You're retired, but you're not a good enough golfer to play golf every day." So he said, "Why don't you apply for that COO position at National FFA?" So the rest is history. And so in 2009, I became the COO of National FFA and later the CEO of the foundation and the organization. And for 7 years, that was kind of a capstone of my career, to be in FFA, help them raise money, and then to be in that leadership position at FFA and at the foundation and organization was a great experience. And people always say, "Well, what's the secret to success?" Whether it's in the feed industry or in a nonprofit like FFA, I said, "What's the secret of success? Surround yourself with people that are smarter than you are. They really make you look good." And that's what National FFA, I mean, it had a great staff of people, the foundation organization, that love the passion. They love the mission of FFA, you know, to make that positive difference in the lives of these young people. The main thing that I've used throughout my career is developing the ability to work with other people. And to be a leader that cares about the people that are around them, and be willing to pass credit down to all members of your team and recognize that it takes everybody to get you the success, whether it's in life or a business or in a contest. I want to challenge the viewers that are out there that have had a past of experience with FFA, but today are not engaged or involved. And I would like to challenge them to contact their local, the chapter closest to them, contact those teachers, those ag teachers and FFA advisors, and just find out how you could be a part of it. I know when I talk to a lot of people who have been in FFA, they light up and they talk about, you know, they want to tell you what was their favorite experience or accomplishment. And then I say, "Well, you know, they'd love to have you judge at the local level. They would love for you to come in and talk to the young people about your career and what you're doing. But I'm not in agriculture. But your career is still important about how you're using the things that you learn through FFA and ag education." So that would be one thing I'd want to do, is to challenge to become involved, to become an alumni member, to participate and to give back. And you can do that at the local, but you can also do it at the state, and certainly you can do it at the national. So I would hope that 50 years from now that FFA and ag education is taking place in every elementary school across the country. I mean, it should almost be a requirement for young people to learn about where their food comes from. So, and I think agriculture education has the platform by which to do that. And then naturally, FFA will grow with that.
Well, again, that was former National FFA CEO Dr. Dwight Armstrong joining us. And of course, his shoes have now been filled by Mark Peschel. Well, that's all for this week's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email at FFAtoday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-7766-147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkison with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.